All right, this is indeed Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie.
And you are listening to EAA Radio, Oshkosh Air Venture, Day 1.
Yeah, we're up and running.
We're joined by Miss Amy Loboda, Editor for Aviation for Women, and Mr. Joe Balzer, I got it right, which for me is saying something.
Especially on a Monday morning.
And he's an inspirational speaker.
So. Author and pilot. Oh, you've got a website, Flying Drunk.
Flying Drunk. I thought that was something you're not supposed to do.
Well, you know, the fine print below it says it all. The true story of a Northwest Airlines flight. Three drunk pilots and one man's fight for redemption. Well, Joe, let's hear about your story here. Now that we've teased everybody, this is
That's pretty interesting.
The FAA, I'm sure, is listening, too, and, well...
Oh, no, I'm sure they know all about him from this title.
Could be.
Yeah, the FAA definitely knows about me. I do work some for the FAA as a volunteer for safety programs on wings weekends, and I go to colleges and speak about alcoholism. I tell my story and basically try to educate people about that.
Well, let's start off by hearing your story.
Well, I'll start it off. First of all, I love airplanes. This is incredible that I'm here at Oshkosh. Got up very early this morning. I thought my interview was 11, so I woke the family up around 5:30 and said, no, guys, we're leaving in an hour. So here we are.
You've never been here before?
No, I have been here. Actually, I brought my Explorer post here in 1994. That was the first time I'd ever been here. And we were the last airplane that landed on the flight line just before the air show started. So all the Bearcats and Mustangs were out there with their engine started, and we were waving out like children out of this 1959 310. But at that point, I just re-earned all of my pilot certificates because they were revoked by the FAA, and rightly so. I did fly a commercial airliner in 1990 under the influence of alcohol. It was Northwest Flight 650.
Oops.
And yes, oops. I grew up in a family with an alcoholic father. I got drunk the very first time I was 3 years old. I got staggering drunk. I was drinking long necks with my great-grandfather in Cincinnati, Ohio. I remember that. That's the maddest I've ever seen my mother in my life, and that was also the last time I ever saw my great-grandfather, whether that was by design or intent. I grew up, that means that I grew up in this environment where everyone was, drinking was normal, and I thought everyone lived in that type of environment.
No, you don't know any different.
You just don't know any different. And I remember as a very young boy piling into the car with my parents down in Cincinnati, driving back home to Dayton. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. And I remember being very scared at age 3, my mother be crying about dad getting into the car and being staggering and please, don't drive with the children in the car, et cetera, et cetera. But dad managed to get into the car and we all piled in and drove home. My mother wasn't healthy enough from the codependency angle, where she's a spouse of an alcoholic, and she didn't really know what to do at the time. Today, my mother's a warrior for recovery and has been going to Al-Anon meetings for many, many years, and she's a wonderful example of what a spouse can do with another person in their life who is suffering from alcoholism. That being said, also, my father's been sober for 21 years, which is great. He's become the man that God intended him to become. Basically, in my life, I didn't drink till I went to college. I grew up by Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, loved airplanes, wanted to get into flying. We moved away when I was 12, went to a suburb of Chicago. They basically bulldozed the airplane down. It was on the final to four right, about right where the marker was, out in Lombard, Illinois. I remember going up there on a Saturday all excited, just as I am today with all these airplanes around. I wanted to get up there and get in it, get my airplane ride, and I remember the bending metal and the sound of hangars being bulldozed over and how disappointed I was when I saw that the airport was disappearing. That was it for me. Didn't have any exposure to airplanes again, except for the ones flying overhead going to O'Hare Field, until I was a senior in college and we went on a United Airlines DC-10 out to Los Angeles to play in the Coliseum. I was in the marching band and teaching the marching band in college. I'll never forget the feeling when they pushed those throttles up and that DC-10 shook down the runway. I just got all excited again about flying. When we got off the trip, I marched into the dean of the university and said, I'm changing my major back to education, because at the time I'd auditioned for the music department, another 3 years of school. I could get out with my education major in 6 months because I'd already done all the prerequisite courses and student teaching. And that's exactly what I did. Moved down to Fort Lauderdale, learned to fly in South Florida, flew DC-3s, C-46s, C-46 Curtis Commando,
right.
Convair 240s, Convair 340s, R-2800s.
You had a degree in education?
Yes.
So you were you teaching at the time? I was flying on the side.
I was teaching gifted math and science full time as a teacher. I'd fly in the summer and I'd work on my ratings every day after school. I actually park cars at night at nightclubs to make extra money. And then what I would do is I'd show up at the airport after school and take a flying lesson just about every day. If it wasn't raining, if it wasn't thunderstorming, I was out flying 150s, 172s, Citabrias, anything I could get my hands on. And actually, the day after I was able to get my multi-engine rating, I'll never forget this, I told the FAA check designee that as we were taxiing out, I said, I want to fly that DC-3 over there. And he says, hey, Sonny, you're getting a little ahead of yourself here. He said, you don't even have your rating yet. Well, when I did get my rating, he said, here, you did a nice job. Here's a telephone number of the fellow that owns that DC-3. I went over there Saturday morning. I loaded that DC-3, and the captain let me go along as a flight attendant. They needed a flight attendant on the way over.
Wow.
On the way back, I was the co-pilot.
All nice. Right. That's motivation.
Part 91 empty airplane. He signed me off after 3 takeoffs and landings. Next thing you know, I'm flying DC-3s, and I only had about 10 hours of multi-time. So, the guys that were willing to go out there and load those airplanes and sweat in the hot Florida sun, they got a lot of really good time in those airplanes. And I eventually got type rated in the Convair. So that was my deal. I got on with Harvey Hopp, just flying when I could on my days off, Learjet trips with Harvey. Harvey's very famous pilot in the Learjet world and corporate America. And he gave young guys with low time opportunities, if they were willing to swab the deck, do the revisions, have skull sessions with him. And he was a yeller and a screamer. And I admired him for that because he made you into a good pilot. What happened, though, when I went to college is when I started drinking.
Right.
And I drank to fit in, like most college students do.
Yep.
And I did the binge drinking like lots of college students do. And what happened to me was I started having blackouts almost right away. And what a blackout is, alcohol-induced amnesia. I think people get a little confused about that. They think that blacking out means that I'm laying down passed out and I'm unconscious or sleeping. That's not it at all. A blackout would mean that I'm here having this interview with you right now. And let's say I've already had a few drinks this morning. 2 o'clock this afternoon, maybe I'd take a nap and wake up, or maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'd be out driving around, but I wouldn't remember this interview.
Right.
And that's when you come home from a party and you get up in the morning and you don't remember how you got home. Those things happen to me frequently in college, and they happened early. I didn't know it at the time, but that's indicia of alcoholism. It is a genetic disease. It is a disease with a pathology and a biochemistry. And I talk about that in my book by referencing a book by Dr. James Milan, who wrote the book Under the Influence. It's one of the top books ever written. It's on the top 300 list of all-time Amazon books sold. Dr. Milan is the doctor who convinced the Veterans Administration back in 1959 that alcoholism was a disease. And I just found out in the past 6 months that Dr. Milan is himself a pilot. He's 86 years old. He's a flying tiger. He's had a distinguished flying cross. He's also in recovery. And I have references to his website, so people can go to his website and also read his book. And I honor him by condensing his book and what it meant to me and what I learned about myself and alcoholism with about 3 pages in my book about the neurochemistry, the biochemistry, and the things that really helped me understand what alcoholism was. Of course, prior to the Northwest Airlines incident, a year prior to that, I had a blackout out in Los Angeles. At the time, I was flying for Eastern Airlines. And at the time, I thought, well, this is the first time this has ever happened to me, you know. And you just don't have that clarity down and enmeshed in alcoholism. You don't have the clarity that you might have, let's say, if you've been sober 4 or 5 years. I had a blackout out in Los Angeles. I remember telling my best friends, I just can't drink like other people. I don't know why, but I can't predict what happens when I drink. Sometimes I can have a few margaritas and be just fine. And other times I'll drink and I can't remember what happened the night before. In other words, I had a blackout.
Well, most people associate these blackouts with large volumes of alcohol. You're saying it doesn't necessarily take that.
It does not necessarily take that. And as a pilot and a mathematician, I think what happens is we want to have a calculator and we want to figure out, well, if I have X number of drinks, X number of hours before a flight, I'm going to be okay. And that's just not the case. What happens is I tried to stop drinking on my own without any 12-step program, without any professional intervention, without any real education or reading any books about it. I just tried to white-knuckle it. And I found that toward the end of Eastern Airlines, everyone losing their career and the company falling apart, being taken over by Mr. Lorenzo and the assets being sold out of the company. I watched so many people losing their jobs, so many people losing their careers. Captains with 25 years at Eastern Airlines, knowing that they were going to lose everything, they weren't going to have an opportunity to fly for another company. This was a very tragic part of aviation history. The Eastern was an old company. Yeah, we've been around a long, long time. A legacy carrier, absolutely. Tremendous trailblazers and a rich heritage. I thought it was affecting everyone else. See, I was good at that. I could see it in you. If you were drinking too much, I could see it in you. If my sister was drinking too much, I could see it in her. I tried to help my sister by giving her this book called It'll Never Happen to Me by Melanie Beatty. Little 20 questions in the back. You know, if you answered four or five of them that said you were an alcoholic, for me, it was 2.5. No way I could be an alcoholic, right?
Right, right.
But I was going to convince her. So I was really good about seeing it in you, but not taking a look at Joe. That's what I really needed to do. So here I was trying to cold turkey myself. I didn't realize how much I'd been drinking at Eastern. I didn't realize that I was getting depressed. I'm also a musician. I wasn't playing my music. I wasn't listening to music. It was really affecting me. I got real scared at Northwest on one of my last trips. Went out drinking with the crew. Had way too much to drink. It doesn't matter whether I broke the 8-hour rule, because I really don't think I did. I probably didn't break the Northwest 12-hour rule. I probably got very close, though. Bottom line is I wasn't paying attention. Bottom line is, once again, I lost control. Bottom line is, yes, I had a partial blackout. Don't remember exactly how much I had to drink. And I ended up compromising my own personal value system and getting into trouble the next day with alcohol. It was horrible, because you think about, it took me 13 years to get that job with the airlines. So all destroyed for alcoholism.
All right, well, hold that thought. We're going to continue. We're going to be right back. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.